run patrols through this one village, and there was a little orphan boy there that him and I just kind of became friends. Then one day we were running a patrol about 150 yards outside the village, and he come running across the desert part of it there with something in his hand. I kept hollering at him to stop, but he just kept coming. And I remember when I put my rifle up to my shoulder and I took an aim at him, and I heard the gun go off.
One of our colleagues committed suicide, and I was the first one on the scene and walking through the door of the hotel room. I can pinpoint everything from the number on the door to going into the bedroom and seeing him.
The lack of sleep and the waking up in the middle of the night because you're dreaming about it, you're seeing it over and over again.
I would constantly think about, was a motor vehicle accident, people trapped, people on fire, human running down the street on fire. It would affect my sleep, day-to-day activities, remember names, faces.
I took a 911 call for a gentleman that was unresponsive and found by his wife. I could hear the agonal respirations coming from the patient, then her fear that, oh my gosh, I may lose my husband. That was really what got to me.
There's one memory in particular that I sort of get flashbacks from. It was a motor vehicle accident that had
car fire as well, too. So the individual crashed into a tree, then the vehicle caught fire. The smells, the sights, you think you're fine, but certain things would just trigger, and I'd be brought back to that scene.
I witnessed a patient who was assaulted with a baseball bat. And I remember opening the front door and hearing a police officer screaming, "It's bad." We could already see all the blood spray on the walls. I remember approaching the patient and, you know, stepping in blood. Even after the call was done, something like stepping on apple juice on the floor, the stickiness, we would all of a sudden see this woman bleeding like crazy, moaning, us trying to control the bleeding.
I had 6 months in rank, and two of my police officers were shot and killed on the corner. I was 5 minutes away, and it really haunted me because I was there in the ER with them. I did CPR on them, and they didn't make it.
In this family, more of us die by our own hands than by the hazards of the job. In this family, up to a quarter of 911 dispatchers have symptoms of PTSD. In this family, our mental health and wellness are in crisis while responders are quietly suffering. In this family, many struggle with job-related stress, burnout, trauma, sleep disruption, substance abuse, and marriage problems. In this family, we can help the helpers with vital information and resources, resilience strategies, and success stories of overcoming the obstacles. In this family, no one is alone. Welcome to Responder Resilience with co-hosts retired Lieutenant David Dashinger, Dr. Stacy Raymond, and Bonnie Lumley, LCSW EMTB. Welcome to another edition of Responder Resilience. On behalf of my co-hosts, Dr. Stacy Raymond and Bonnie Rumley, LCSW EMT, I'm David Dashinger. We invite you to like and subscribe on YouTube, Responder Resilience Channel, Facebook, Responder Wellness Inc., bbsradio.com, and Apple Podcasts. Our new website with all the past episodes is respondertv.com.
This episode is made possible by Cover, an all-natural military-grade mineral sunscreen lotion. Providing broad-spectrum protection in an SPF 30, Cover blocks 97% of harmful UVA and UVB rays, but is light enough to allow your skin to breathe. First responders often spend long hours in the sun, and prolonged skin exposure is one of the hazards of the job. First responders love Cover because it won't stain clothing, and the 4-ounce bottle fits easily into a backpack or go bag. Go to kovr.respondertv.com to get 15% off all Cover sunscreen products. That's kovr.respondertv.com.
On one of our very first episodes of Responder Resilience, we talked about EMDR therapy from the perspective of the therapist. Today we're going to hear from the rank and file, the firefighters, paramedics, police officers, and a dispatcher in the trenches who have used EMDR to overcome traumatic stress. They receive therapy and the support of a responder-savvy, trauma-trained, and compassionate counselor who provided them with a safe space to process their emotions. We hope that you, the viewer, will appreciate the courage and generosity of these responders in sharing their journeys. In one case, healing from traumatic wartime events over 50 years in the past, and in other cases, from extremely traumatic incidents they've responded to while steadfastly doing their jobs in emergency services. In some of these stories, the trauma involves the death of colleagues. We want to thank and honor our special guests who care so deeply about their brothers and sisters that they were fearless enough to speak candidly in this episode.
Okay, my name is Dan Welch. I spent some time with a Texas police department, and I also was the chief of a volunteer fire department in Granville, Vermont. Okay, I'm a United States Marine, First Force Recon. Well, I got several medals, but among the most important ones, I guess, is I got 3 Purple Hearts. I got a Bronze Star and Navy Achievement, Presidential Citation, Navy Unit Citation, Meritorious Unit Citation, all with combat bees. 7 Vietnamese Service Medals with combat bees. The V is for Valor. Flashbacks for me was that when I had a flashback, I was right there. I was in the jungle. I was with my guys. And everything that the flashback was happening, like it was real. I swear, I'm right there. I can hear the screams. I can hear the bullets flying by me. I can hear guys helping, asking me to help them, save them, or trying to patch guys. I mean, it's real. Gave me 100% disability, but they said that I had 85% of that was PTSD. The first thing they would say would be, your whole thing is you're just depressed. So here, go home and take these meds, take these pills. And because they're meant for depression, and you'll be much better. And then I guess in the very beginning, I believed it and I tried it. And it made everything worse. And so I just quit going to anybody.
Responders are sometimes reluctant to embrace something new, especially when it has a scientific-sounding acronym like EMDR. We asked responders what they thought when they first heard of EMDR therapy, and here's what they said.
The point at which I heard about EMDR, I was in such a bad state that I was just about willing to try anything. I feel like if I had heard about it, when I was doing well, it probably would have sounded a lot crazier than it already sounded.
When I first heard about EMDR therapy, I had already been in talk therapy for probably about 2 years. I was pretty much at the end of my rope. And I went into it figuring, do you know what? I've got nothing to lose. There's no way that I can feel worse than I do now.
First heard about EMDR while working with Dr. Stacy Raymond. I initially had a tough time even accepting the fact I needed to go talk to somebody. So I would say probably the third or fourth visit with her began EMDR. I was a little hesitant, to be honest, but since then I've done numerous sessions with her over the last couple of years, and it works very well, even though initially it sounded a little odd to me.
I thought it was some nonsense that was going to have some drugs involved in it, and I was going to have to take drugs. And I was like, I'm not doing that. It's not going to work. That's some nonsense stuff. Just give me some talk therapy and let's move on.
So I first heard about EMDR when the Fairfield County Trauma Response Team came out to the firehouse one day and did a presentation for everybody. When I finally decided I needed to seek some treatment, it was during the time of COVID. So contacted Stacy, and through the beauties of technology, you're able to do EMDR remotely.
It got kind of scary, got kind of nervous, I didn't know what to expect. And, I thought I was going to be, maybe have like wires on my forehead and, and stuff like that. I didn't know what it was completely. I thought it was like shock therapy or something like that. Once you learn about it and you read about it, it's not like that. It's something different.
My wife found it for me, and she was kind of excited about it. But my first thought was, this is not going to be any different than what I've been through. Because I've been through several psychologists, psychiatrist. Constant nightmares, not sleeping, had a hot temper. I didn't like anybody, including myself. And I just lived basically like a miserable life.
The responders in this episode all participated in EMDR therapy to alleviate post-traumatic stress. We asked them, after having experienced EMDR, now what do you think of it?
With EMDR, I was skeptical, and I was reluctant to open up. But it was after our first session that I just had this good feeling. I thought, you know what? Let me give this a real try, and it's the best thing I ever did.
Having been through EMDR, I can recall that same incident and just talk about it as if it was matter of fact, and the whole time be like, oh yeah, do you know what? That happened. I don't have the same emotional and physiological response that I did before it.
Maybe I was a little skeptical beforehand, but I tell you what, I'm 110% believe that EMDR works. Now I will suggest EMDR therapy to anybody. I've done other therapy types of things in the past where you do the critical incident stress debriefing where everybody talks about it and stuff like that. This is a different level. It truly helps your mind process things and makes it a lot better for you.
After experiencing EMDR, I found it worked very well. I was able to almost block out some specifics, if not the majority of some significant calls that affected me. Also, it helped me sleep more. I wouldn't think about a particular victim or patient, what have you, or how it affected myself or some of my brothers to the left or right of me.
I think it's an incredibly underappreciated tool that it should be a resource that's available to everybody who works as a first responder. It has that significant of a potential to make a positive impact on this field.
After having experienced EMDR, I think I wouldn't be where I am today without it. It's definitely something I'm sorry about Vinny. It's definitely something that I didn't think would help me. And after experiencing it and seeing it firsthand, how calming and what it can do for you, I recommend it to anybody who's had any type of trauma, whether it be first responder or just in their own personal life.
I think it's great for, you know, for the stress level, for anything of major incidents, especially with first responders. It resets your brain, I think, you know, makes you relaxed, and you pinpoint some of the stressful points of a scene.
Come on. Check it.
Sleep can be a big issue for responders, especially when a traumatic event or series of events interferes with sleep. We asked the responders, how did you sleep after your first EMDR session?
So after my first EMDR session, I didn't really have any particular positive traits that I initially noticed, but over time I was able to sleep better during the day. I could sleep fine at night, but during the day, after a 24 or 48 hour shift or a marathon kind of week, I would have incidents pop up in my head because I was probably light sleeping. Eventually, over numerous sessions of EMDR, some of these calls that would pop up virtually disappeared.
After my first EMDR session, I remember leaving my therapist's office and feeling as if the weight of the world had been lifted off of my shoulders. When I got home, I was exhausted. I took a nap. I slept for probably 2-3 hours. And I remember waking up just feeling so refreshed.
I had more restful night's sleep. My sleep pattern, just because of my medical history, sometimes can be a little bit erratic anyways. But overall, after the first one, was pretty good. And as a whole, it's much, much better. I'm not nearly as stressed, and I can feel it in my body.
Well, I went from maybe sleeping an hour or two every other night. I think after my first session, I must have slept a good 12 hours. I was exhausted. I think I was just emotionally and mentally and physically, I was exhausted because I wasn't sleeping. But I think it finally relieved some of the pressure, almost like it, you know, like a pressure cooker. It turned the pressure valve and the pressure released in a healthy way, you know, even though there was crying and tears and, you know, it was traumatic. It made it so it didn't haunt my dreams and it didn't haunt my every thought, and I wasn't ruminating on it. So I was able to sleep very well, like just plain out exhaustion. I had no dreams that night that I remember.
You know, my sleep was my number one symptom, my sleep issues before doing EMDR. For a period of at least 90 days before my first session, I didn't sleep for more than an hour and a half in a row. That was how I knew I was onto something. The exhaustion that I would describe before EMDR was a I don't want to deal with this feeling anymore type of exhaustion, a dread. When I walked out of my first EMDR session, it was a really profound feeling. It was definitely, I would characterize it as a turning point for me. If this is just a therapy that even helps me to sleep, I'm like, all right, I'm on board. I'll keep doing this. Even if it just improved that. And it turns out it improved a lot more than my sleep.
How did I sleep after the first EMDR? I can put that very simply. I slept like a baby. I slept great. You know, it was relaxed. I was relaxed. It was like stress-free. It was just comfortable, you know, it was like a great 8 hours of sleep.
We asked responders to describe how they experienced one particularly traumatic memory before EMDR therapy and how they now experience the same memory after healing it with EMDR.
It wasn't very long into it. She said to me, is there anything you want to work on today? And I said, yes. And we run patrols through this one village, and there was a little orphan boy there that him and I just kind of, I guess, clicked, became friends. You know, and every time I went through, I'd give him food and everything like that. And then one day we were running a patrol about 150 yards outside the village. And he come running across the desert part of it there with something in his hand. And what the NVA would do, they would take orphans and give them what we call a beetle nut, which is like heroin. And then they'd give an explosive device and say, go take that to the Marines. And when we realized that's what they were doing, it's either get blown all the hell or you got to take the kid out. And he did that day. He come running toward me with something in his hands, and we couldn't tell what it was. I kept hollering at him to stop. I told him in Vietnamese. I told him in English, but he just kept coming. And I remember when I put my rifle up to my shoulder, and I took an aim at him, and I heard the gun go off, and he went down. But when we got there, all he had was a handful of rice he was bringing to me. So for 50 some odd years, I hated myself for that. I had such trauma over it. And then when I come back to the States, and all you were hearing was some people, oh, you guys are a bunch of baby killers, and it made it worse. And I was, but what EMDR did for me was they took me back to that day, and things looked different. And through that, and all of a sudden I looked at Dr. Raymond and I said, You know what? I didn't shoot him. It wasn't me. And because through EMDR, going back through it, I realized when I went to reload, I'd never shot. One of my other guys did it. And because of that, the relief is like unbelievable. Do I still go back to that day sometime? Yeah. But now I go back and I see all the fun things we did together, you know, like walking to the village and just joking around and everything, you know, and just talking with him, you know. As a matter of fact, I was 18 years old, but I went to my CO to see what I'd have to do to adopt him and bring him home with me, you know, which is next to impossible. But that's how much I cared about him. And to realize that, you know, I didn't do it was such an amazing relief for me. And I found that through EMDR with a lot of things that you look at differently. And I told Dr. Raymond once, I said, you know, it's weird that I think this is what happened, but through EMDR, I realized, no, that's not what happened. It just clears everything up for you, I guess is the best way to put it.
So recently, I took a 911 call for a gentleman that was unresponsive and found by his wife. And I could hear the agonal respirations coming from the patient. And the wife's just, you know, urgency, really kind of not knowing what to do. And then her fear that, oh my gosh, I may lose my husband. And that was really what got to me. So this call happened to be the one that really brought me back to a call years ago. The death of somebody that I knew, and it was his wife that found him in bed, and again, I knew the wife. And hearing her say, please, please don't leave me. This is going to be hard for me to process because of my own experience, because I had a similar call in the past that I was exceptionally painful.
Traumatic memory prior to EMDR therapy I would constantly think about was a motor vehicle accident, people trapped, people on fire, human running down the street on fire. It would affect my sleep, day-to-day activities, remember names, faces, the members of my crew, other crews looked like, everybody running around. I remember the smell would always pop up when I drive to the intersection. But after numerous sessions of EMDR with this call and then spinoffs with other calls popping in while working on this one, EMDR helped drastically. It's amazing how I can drive to the intersection now, or if a smell pops up, you can manage that with other skills that I've learned through therapy. So I would say EMDR is a magical thing.
One of our colleagues committed suicide, and I was the first one on the scene and walking through the door of the hotel room. You know, for a couple of days, for the first two days, you know, I can pinpoint everything from the number on the door to, you know, what the first room looked like, what was on the counter, what, you know, where the TV remote control was, and then, you know, going into the bedroom and seeing him, and I can tell you exactly where everything was. And being educated in the EMDR, you have to attack that stress right away, and which we did, you know, and that helped me, you know, it helped me coping with, you know, with the suicide and you know, being that he was a friend of mine and a colleague, and it helped me not put things in perspective, but bring my stress level down so I can go back to work and I could, you know, be functional. I'll give you a perfect example. A week later, I got called there for another suicide, and, you know, there was a person who had OD'd in the room, in one of the rooms, and my phone blew up you know, with text messages and phone calls, are you okay to go in? Are you? So there's people out there concerned, but for me, I went there. And what is it always, do I always think about it? No. Do I know what happened? Yes. So I put it, I stored it in the place of my brain where I know it's still there. If I need to activate it again and I want to do that, I can. But I know that that is the place. I know the room, but I know I have a job to do. And that's where EMDR helped me out to separate that.
So there's one memory in particular that I sort of get flashbacks from. It was a motor vehicle accident that had a lot of things that went wrong with the type of thing. And certain things would trigger it, certain smells, certain visions and stuff like that. And after doing the EMDR treatment for, you know, that and a number of other incidents, I no longer have those flashbacks or anything like that. It actually, again, had I known that this was available earlier, I would have probably done it earlier than I did. Because it's made that much of a difference.
I had a series of calls over the course of a few months that all involved violence. Another call I witnessed a patient who was assaulted with a baseball bat. And I remember opening the front door and hearing a police officer screaming, "It's bad." You know, and as we walked up the staircase, we could already see all the blood spray on the walls. And, you know, I remember approaching the patient and, you know, stepping in blood, you know, and that stickiness, right? That sensation of that is something that later, you know, kind of came up for me. Even after the call was done, something like stepping on apple juice on the floor, the stickiness, it would all of a sudden be like, it just instantly think about and see in a very detailed way, you know, this woman leaning up against the wall, bleeding like crazy, moaning, you know, the cop panicking and yelling, you know, us trying to control the bleeding. I remember getting done with that call and thinking to myself, I really just want to be done with this field. These memories are very stimulating to your senses. You know, I ended up not sleeping at all that night. And, you know, that was when all my symptoms really started to accelerate. After that, I ended up in this situation where when I would sleep, you know, I can almost feel a nightmare coming on. And I think, you know, this last call is really just kind of what set me over the edge.
So when I got promoted to sergeant, it was 2014. I had 6 months in rank, and two of my police officers were shot and killed on the corner. I was working that day. I was 5 minutes away, not even, maybe two. I like to say 5 seconds. And it really haunted me because I was there in the ER with them. I did CPR on them, and they didn't make it. I would say that me to even be able to tell you that in a short, clipped space, without breaking down, shaking, or ticking. That's what EMDR has done for me. It was the difference between standing on the platform and getting on the train. Standing on the platform, you just see everything pass you by, and it's just these flashes and this crazy haze of what you remember, and you build it up to take on the guilt and the pressure of the whole situation. And with EMDR, I got on the train, and I was able to sit there, and I was able to go through pieces of it. And really explain to myself through EMDR and through my therapy sessions that it's okay. You can watch it, you can process it, but you don't have to keep reliving it. I think that's the main thing. I don't sit here I don't sit anywhere anymore and think like, could have done this, I should have done that, I should have been faster, I shouldn't this, I shouldn't have done that, I should have. Even on like the day that it happened, I'm actually able to step back now because of EMDR and be like, you can, coulda, woulda, shoulda did. It happened. You were there. You did the best you could and process it. I go left, you go right, don't pick it up, don't dance all night. I go left, you go right, don't pick it up, don't dance all night. I go left, you go right, pick it up, dance all night. You can want anybody. Oh, 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 oh. Well, I guess you had
We asked responders, how have your post-traumatic stress symptoms changed as a result of EMDR?
My PTSD symptoms have pretty much dissipated. I can talk about the incident as if it were a matter of fact and not have that just raw emotional and physiological response that I once did. I can function. I can live my life. I can do my job. Before, I couldn't.
So after working and doing EMDR for numerous sessions, I found that the traumatic stress symptoms associated with that have drastically improved. Sleep's improved during the day, better mental attitude throughout the day. Think about how to manage calls while on the call. At first, like I mentioned earlier, I thought EMDR sounded a little funny, wasn't too sure about it. But I think it works pretty well in the fact that you can just bounce your eyes back and forth, discuss an incident, and then over time, it almost tricks your brain into being able to shut out that memory, move it to a different location, or subdue it, and learn how to manage it.
Stuff that's most recent, like, and I'll do the example of the suicide because that was the most recent. We needed to hit that head on right away. So RTAP, you do that right away, and it could take one session. Like I was told, it could take two sessions. It could take three sessions. If you get to the stress level right away, you can get control of it, so it doesn't get control of you. My past is my past. Childhood past incidents. My other department at NYPD I worked in, I have some post-traumatic stress from there. We work on that. You can work on that in bits and pieces. But something right away that affects you, got to get to it right away.
Before I started EMDR, my nightmares, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I was sweating. My bed was all torn apart. My wife couldn't sleep with me. She had to sleep in another bedroom because I was thrashing around so much. It was like I was back in battle. Then the next day, after I've had some of those, my first thing to do was put on some CCR, open a bottle of whiskey, and thinking that's going to make it better. But as we all know, it didn't. It made it worse. Because the more I did that, the deeper I got. And the deeper I got, the more I did it. And now I don't do that. I was with Dr. Raymond for about three months, I guess, when my wife said to me, I came home, my wife said to me, she said, that's the first time I've ever seen you smile. And then my whole family was just astonished if I actually laughed, I used to get really angry. I don't do that anymore. Do I get a little, pissed off or something? Sure, everybody does. But I don't have that anger. If for any reason I'm thinking about Vietnam, which is not, which is a lot easier now, I don't have the guilt, the survival guilt or any of that anymore. And I have found now if I lock onto something, I'll break it. And then everything, goes away. So I want to allow myself to lock into something and just stay there.
I had a lot of anger. And thinking about that call would make me feel anger. And after EMDR, I can tell that story like a story. If I had tried to tell you that same story before EMDR, a bunch of things happen. Literally, you feel your heart racing. You feel your shoulders lifting up like you're getting ready to fight, and afterwards if you spend enough time thinking about the stuff, you feel physically sick after it. So that's the difference after EMDR. EMDR, the memory is still there. It didn't go away. I still remember the details, but what I believe EMDR did for me is it took this memory that was stuck in the part of my brain that was reacting to it, like that fight or flight, like it took it from that part of the brain to the part that I call the filing cabinet. I just think of it like, oh, it's in the filing cabinet now.
So my PTSD has definitely gotten much better. One of the main reasons why I did the EMDR and sought treatment for it was at home with my family. I noticed myself was a little changing and stuff like that. There's, like I said, anger management, but I could tell I was short fused. That's gone away. I have 10 times better. My wife's noticed an improvement. Everybody's noticed an improvement with that. One other thing I've noticed actually as well too, I'm more receptive or more perceptive of there being stress related in your body working on the stress. I recently did a call not that long ago where that the night after the call, I didn't sleep worth a wink. Just the heightened knowledge of, okay, this is what you really should be looking for, and experiencing after the EMDR how much calmer your body is, it makes it so that you are a lot more cognizant of the whole PTSD in general.
We asked responders, in their own words, how do you think EMDR works?
It's not shock therapy, that's for sure. It definitely, you know, it puts you in a state, in a, your mindset where you are relaxed. You're bringing that incident back, and you're playing it back in your brain, and you're coming to the stressful, you know, scenes, and you're taking control of it, not where the scene took control of you. For an example, with EMDR, for something that happened in my past, I would think about it. I would play it through the way it was, and then go back in and play it again, and play it the way I wanted it to come out. I have control of that incidence and that stress, so I feel a lot better when I control my stress. And you know, I think that EMDR is helping me with that.
I almost visualize taking the call from the fight or flight part of the brain. I like literally have this cartoonish view of my brain now. The part that's like, yeah, we got to react. Something bad's going on. Fight, fight, fight. I take it. EMDR brings it to the filing cabinet, and it's there for reference. And I can take it out if I need to, if I need to tell a story about it, if I need to think about it clinically, or I need to make a point to someone, I can take it out of the filing cabinet without it, you know, causing me to not sleep that night.
The way I envision it is it's a file cabinet, and whatever terrible experience that you had that you're struggling through, it gets filed away. And through the therapy, you're able to eventually revisit it and not have the same raw response that you once did.
I mean, the best metaphor I can give you is the train platform. Anybody's ever been on a crowded train platform, you're getting bumped, you're getting jostled, you're getting annoyed, you're trying to pay attention, you're trying to read the board to find your train, everything's a mess, nothing's making sense to you, but you just know you got to get on the train, you got to keep moving. So when EMDR for me started, I was able to slow that down. I was able to look at the board and be like, okay, that's the train. Okay, that's the platform. Okay, I have to walk this way. Okay, I have to get on. I have to buy a ticket. I have to get on. It for me, it slows everything down and puts it in perspective. That's how it is for me. It stops your mind from using its trauma brain and to using your normal brain where you're like, okay, I can slow this down and I can look at it. Maybe that's the best way I can describe it, as a slowing down of events that happen. Because in general, trauma happens very fast and all these things are going on at the same time. And your brain is trying to protect you and it's trying to encode all this stuff. But EMDR kind of slows it down and it draws it out so you can put it in its place and reintegrate it. I think that's the best way I can. It's a definite reintegration of the memories and the experiences. So they're not so traumatic in your mind.
I guess I can say how I think it worked for me is that by having me relive all my trauma, but at the same time you're reliving it, it's helping me to understand it, to accept it, to and I guess I too, you know, it doesn't take my memories away. It just makes them different. I mean, I lost a lot of guys in Nam, and to think about them. Now think about the good times we had together, you know? And it's not as horrible. Before I started EMDR, it was like my old team would come to me at night in my nightmares. And they were standing there with ragged, torn clothes on, meat off, bones showing. And I thought that they were coming for me because I thought they were blaming me. But the more I dealt with my traumas, it came to a point to where the last time I saw them, they were in dress uniforms. And they just looked at me and smiled and said, not time for you yet, but we'll be here when you get here. And that was it. And to see them like that was just, you know, such amazing release.
Amazing. it truly does work amazingly. In reading some more about the science behind it and stuff like that, you understand why it works as well as it does. Again, anybody who I think is having issues, I'll say, hey, you know what? Maybe try some therapy. It may seem silly, it may seem stupid, but just a simple therapy you can do remotely with the EMDR, it makes a huge difference. I think it's better than talking with a therapist. I think it's better than talking in a group. Different speeds of the light and stuff like that. I didn't even realize that was a thing. Depending on the speed going back and forth, triggers different neurosensors and stuff like that, which makes a big difference to like help you like relive it and put it away, or to help your mind calm down with it. And I also know now, okay, hey, I need to have treatment or I need to do something. I'm not afraid to seek it out and to do it again because it's well worth it at the end of the day.
A spinoff of EMDR that Dr. Stacy Raymond and I worked on, that she has started to work with paramedics on, is smell desensitization. So while doing the EMDR, if a smell of burning flesh, rotting flesh, fuel, something of that nature were to pop up, for me at least, we would manage that with a smell that was good. So like a citrus smell or an apple smell or something like that. On a cotton ball in a baggie. Sounds funny. Sounds a little kooky, actually. But it worked very well. And anytime that the odor would pop back up into my head, just take a quick hit out of the bag, and that memory would be gone. And you'd replace the bad smell, whatever it may be, with a positive one. And for me, that was a game changer.
Some of these responders have also done talk therapy. We asked them, compared to regular talk therapy, how is EMDR different?
How would I compare it to regular talk therapy? I think each one has its use. For me, EMDR seems to get, I like to do things a little faster, as all first responders do. I think it gets you to the point faster. We can talk about how we feel once we've integrated the trauma and the stuff that you see every day, day in, day out. Sometimes you have a hard time putting it into words. And when the memory and the images don't hurt as much, it's easier to talk and process further along. I think that without EMDR, I would never have been able to process it, period. I just would have kept stuffing it down.
I think talk therapy is great for certain things compared to EMDR. EMDR is, for me, it's a great to relieve stress, and we'll go with something, you know, we're first responders. Our stress level is high, you know, throughout the day. It's low, it's high, it's up, it's down. So something may spike it, you know, where we're at that level. And you may, you know, there's no harm in saying, hey, talk to a therapist and say, hey, do you do EMDR? Yes. Hey, what do you think about maybe in a session or two, I do an EMDR, I got this incident. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be from a domestic to a motor vehicle stop to a motor vehicle accident to, you know, suicide. It could be a very traumatic incident. You know, you can talk about it. You know, will that help give the stress level away? Yes, right then and there. But with EMDR, it's for the longer period, you know. That's what I think.
One thing I kind of noticed with like the critical incident stress debriefing therapy, which is pretty still common out there for stressful incidences, you discuss what you saw and you hear other people's versions of what they saw, and you work through that a little bit. It might help people. It doesn't allow your brain to process it. That, you know, a group discussion about it, maybe you didn't see something, so now you heard somebody else say something, now your mind's thinking even more in overdrive. The group setting, it may work for some people, it could be powerful for some people, but I think just the one-on-one, the fact that you can work through it yourself as opposed to a group setting, is a big difference and a lot better.
Yeah, so I tried cognitive behavioral therapy in my early 20s after a major depressive episode. The biggest difference, though, I'll say between CBT therapy and EMDR is the speed. You know, it seemed like I would spend a lot of sessions in CBT before I kind of had like a breakthrough or felt like, okay, I had talked that out enough. You know, an interesting thing about EMDR too, at least in my case, I did talk out these calls. But I think when you couple them with the eye movements, you know, there's something that happens when you combine talking it out with the eye movements that makes it that much more powerful. Why should we take 10 times as long to deal with something unpleasant when we can do it faster? That should be obvious. You know, when you're suffering and you feel like you've done everything that you can, if you can find anything to make it a little bit better, that is something you can latch onto and go, okay, well, at least I've got this. Like, let me pause here. Maybe all is not lost, and maybe, you know, maybe I can turn this around. And the fact that you can, you know, feel that way after the first session, I think is helpful in getting the buy-in from people. Because if you tell people, oh, you got to try this 10 times before you feel it, you know, it's like working out. You go to the gym for one day, you're not going to notice any results. You're just going to be sore the next day. But with EMDR, I had definitely felt a huge impact, you know, right after the first session. And as much as it was a lot of work, and it wasn't like a pleasant experience, it was difficult. It was, you know, it was definitely work, but just the fact that you could go in for a 90-minute session and feel some improvement, you know, that's hopeful, you know, for people that are really struggling.
I would tell anybody, and I have told every vet I've come across, or even police officers, firefighters I've come across, that I push it so hard because I keep telling them, you don't understand. You got to do this because it will do so much for you. It's going to help you so much. I mean, I think it's the most amazing thing that there is.
EMDR is different in the fact that it works so fast. You can talk about bad calls for days, weeks, whole career, but EMDR has literally nipped some calls or incidents in the bud in one session, which is pretty remarkable.
As we wrap up, we want to again thank the selfless responders who participated in this episode. A few of them had some closing thoughts.
If you have a tool in your toolbox, you have this therapy that's available, it's effective, why not try it sooner rather than later? You know, even if you're doing okay, I really feel like EMDR therapy, you know, can and should be used a lot more universally, almost as a preventive. Like, why are we waiting until people get to have full-blown PTSD? Why are we waiting until they have nightmares? Why are we waiting until people are suicidal? You know, it's great that we have suicide hotlines, but what else can we do to prevent people from even getting to that point? I would really advocate that people attempt using this therapy way before they think they need it. And just see if it can make an improvement in your life. If you're feeling a 5 out of 10 and it moves you, you know, your stress level down to a 3 out of 10, or it gives you that incremental improvement in your sleep, I think it's worth it.
When I feel like there's an incident that bothers me, the way that I kind of know about it now is the sleeplessness. And just general restlessness. That's the way I've noticed my body reacts to it. So at that point, I'm like, okay, this incident maybe bothered me more than I expected, and I need to process it more. And with EMDR, you get taught to be like in a relaxed place. For me, it was sitting back in my chair, imagining my toes and my hands are in the sand, and just wiggling my toes and just finding a nice like zen spot in a way. And sometimes just doing that a little bit just to help process and calm your body down makes a huge difference.
I'm a big advocate now of asking for help. I was 20 years ago when I became a police officer, it was like, don't ask for this, don't ask for that. They'll take your gun, they'll take your badge or whatever. And, you know, now it's different. You know, ask for help. There's the stuff that's out there. You know, go see a therapist, go do an EMDR session, try it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. You know, sometimes it takes one or two sessions to do it. But for us as first responders, with the job changing and it's becoming more stressful now, and you know, you definitely gotta take care of yourself. You know, you can eat right, you can work out every day, you can run every day, you can ride the Peloton every day, whatever it is, that'll help with the stress that right then and there. But you also have to exercise your brain. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, your brain functions, you have to be in the right mindset. So if you want all that, just go and ask for help.
If you've had exposure to either one or many traumatic events as a first responder, my advice is not to wait. We have a tendency to take care of everybody else. That's our job. We forget to take care of ourselves. You took the job to help. It's a hard enough job as it is. You have the right, and I would say you have the duty to go get yourself help. Because the more help you get and the more you're able to process what you see, the better officer, you know, first responder, whatever you do in this field, you become. I waited. There were things I had seen before this that I should have definitely gotten help for, and I didn't. And when my two officers died, it wasn't only me dealing with them, it was me dealing with the years before them. So I started really, really behind the eight ball. Don't wait. You know, if you think it's not for you, I understand that. I thought the exact same thing. But I couldn't have been more wrong, actually. Don't wait. It's not worth your life. It's not worth, you know, the health of your family and yourself. And ultimately, you know, like, you have the right, you've earned the right, and you deserve to get help.
During my tour in Vietnam, I received 3 Purple Hearts. My 3rd Purple Heart took me out of the jungle, away from the battle, and sent me home. It is with great honor that I, Sergeant D.M. Welch, United States Marine Corps, award you, Dr. Stacy Raymond, my 3rd Purple Heart. 50 years later, we went back to the jungle and the battles together. Because of EMDR, we defeated them. And you brought me home for good. Thank you.